You're listening to SBS News.
Getting an insight on how Australia is tracking on Indigenous employment, particularly during the pandemic, has been challenging.
We really realised the lack of data that exists around Indigenous employment during the COVID pandemic. We wanted to know what was happening to Indigenous employees across the country, and it didn't take us very long at all to realise there simply was no data for us to understand the impact. When we know how many Indigenous Australians are incarcerated on any given night, but we don't know how many are in work in a given year, I think that's a gap that we seriously need to close.
Noongar woman Shirley Cable has been spearheading the project to establish Australia's first Indigenous Employment Index to track the progress every 2 years. She says the findings have been revealing.
Our research found that Indigenous Australians are hitting some kind of ceiling at entry level and middle management positions. So we found that employers have an average 2.2% Indigenous employment rate across their workforce, but only 0.7% representation in their senior management. It didn't really surprise me to find that Indigenous Australians were so poorly represented at those leadership levels. It's certainly what we see quite consistently, but I think it's more disappointing because employers are really missing out on the value that Indigenous leadership and values and culture can bring to all of our boardrooms and organisations.
The work was commissioned through the Mindaroo Foundation's Generation One initiative, established by mining billionaire Andrew Forrest and his wife Nicola. Indigenous consultancy group Marawin and the Bankwest Curtin Economic Centre helped to compile the index, which charts the progress of voluntary targets and policies on Indigenous employment set by 42 of Australia's largest employers, including Woolworths, ANZ Bank, Lendlease, Atlassian, Australia Post and Domino's Pizza. Together, the participating organisations employ 17,412 Indigenous Australians, among more than 700,000 Australians, which represents 5% of the national workforce. Three quarters of the organisations had measures in place like voluntary Indigenous employment targets, but only two-thirds were regularly reporting progress on meeting those goals. Many of the groups also had Indigenous recruitment strategies, but retention and promotion pathways were lacking. Niyangai man Warren Mundine says as a business owner himself who employs First Nations people, he's found the findings make for sobering reading.
The thing that stood out to me the most was that the genuineness, but that disconnect about how do you actually make it successful. There are things that, they could continue on doing, like cadetships and so on like that, but it's not just about those type of things. You actually got to commit yourself and have the whole organisation committed to make this a successful program, and also listening to the voices of people who are coming in and working within your business, because they're the people at the coal front. They're the people who could tell you what is happening, what is good and what is not so good.
Indigenous Employment Partners, headquartered in Melbourne, is an Aboriginal-owned and operated social enterprise helping First Nations people to find employment. It does this through a 26-week mentoring and support program with organisations across all sectors around Australia. The program's completion rate is 90%, resulting in the placements of about 200 First Nations people each year. The demand for the group services during the pandemic actually saw them scale up by 300%. CEO and Kamilaroi woman Sarah Stewart says the support network is a key part of the success.
We do put that down to our mentoring program that is done in a three-pronged approach, which is in their home, in their community and in their workplace. So we're there for all three parties to support that employment along the way. So from the employer's perspective, we're there to help them learn and become culturally safe. From the employee's perspective, we're helping them to understand how to have that ability to walk into worlds and what their requirements are from a corporate aspect, but also to not lose sight of their culture. But also in the community aspect, that if we are placing somebody into that organisation where they may need to be taking their aunts, their uncles, other elders to appointments because they might have the only car of that family, that we're not leaving that family stranded.
She says while there is plenty of goodwill among CEOs, a number have told her they worry about getting things wrong. And she says what is needed is a willingness from business leaders to ask for help, as well as engaging with mentoring emerging leaders from diverse backgrounds.
When we become CEOs and heads of HRs and diversity and learning, we're just expected that we know all of these things, and we don't, and that's okay. But, you know, be brave, put your hand up and say, hey, I want to do this, but I need help. Whilst ever we just open up all of these entry-level roles or middle roles, but they're capped and you're recruiting in the same ways that you need to look at a resume and match it with every single expertise on there, you're missing the point of life skills, and you're missing the point of community connections, and you're missing the point of all of the other exceptional skills that that person and diversity that that person is going to bring.
Ms. Cable says also affecting progress in the index results was the rate of racism reported. More than 50% of Indigenous interviewees reported direct or indirect racism currently and throughout their careers.
It's not surprising to me to see that when racism is present in Australian society, that that's often reflected in workplaces as well. I don't think that any workplace or employer is immune from racism in the workplace. What we're asking employers to do is to take racism seriously, treat it as a safety issue for all of their staff, and take steps to eliminate it.
Australian Bureau of Statistics data from 2018 shows less than half of working-age Indigenous Australians are employed, compared to three-quarters of non-Indigenous Australians. At the current rate of progress, it will take 200 years to close the gap. Ms. Cable says much more work needs to be done to ensure the proportion of Indigenous Australians in the population of 3.3% is also reflected in the country's workforce.
What we've modelled is that by 2040, which is what we're classing as our generation, we will need another 300,000 Indigenous Australians in work. So over the next 18 years, we need another 300,000 mob in work if we want to close the gap in one generation. Oh, I know it can happen. I've seen it with my own family. I think it just takes a lot of effort and a lot of converting the goodwill into action that really drives the change. But I'm absolutely confident that with the right people and organisations on board, it'll happen.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.